Australian. I've got Nagi Yarak on the phone from YLP Legal to talk about advanced care directors, a very interesting topic. Good afternoon, Maggie. How are you?
Good afternoon, Kerry. Good, thank you. How are you?
Good. Now, look, it's one of those topics that no one really wants to talk about, but people should talk about.
That's exactly right. It's a very uncomfortable topic, and I understand why people do put it off, but it's so important to get it done. And I know so many people feel so much better once they've actually finished the process, knowing that they have now recorded all of their wishes in the event that they no longer have capacity.
And we don't know what's going to happen. And I noted that the legal firm you started up is the first and only autism-friendly law firm.
Yes.
Now, because of what we know with medical diagnosis, all of these things are coming out about what people do and don't have, and we don't know where that's going to go. And so it's really important to put it in place, particularly when you have a family with their siblings, so everyone's very clear what's going to happen in the future, isn't it?
That's correct. And a lot of people do ask me, must I put my children as the substitute decision makers? And I do say to them, well, no, not necessarily. It's probably best, and sometimes in some instances, it's probably best you don't, because they'll be dealing with a very fragile time in your life as it is, and it may, in fact, be better to appoint somebody who you know is able to do probably the worst thing that anyone will have to do, and that is essentially switch you off if that's what the case may be, and that really is the worst-case scenario. And when I speak to people about that, they do realise, okay, well, no, I think we really need to plan this a little bit better.
And Maggie, it's not just end of life, it's also future healthcare, living arrangements, personal matters. There's a whole load of things that you want to make sure align with your health, or with your values and preferences. How does your organisation help with it? Is there a checklist? How do you go about planning in advance care?
Yeah, we sit down with our clients. It's one of the processes that we prefer to do face-to-face, because some of the questions in an advanced care directive, especially in part three, where there are six different wishes that you make. And you're right, it doesn't have to be about just your medical care. It's actually also, there's one question about where you're going to live. Where do you wish to live? What would you like people to consider when they're making decisions for you? And some of these questions on first glance are quite confronting, and a lot of people don't really know how to answer them. So what we do is, because we've done so many of these over the years, we tend to sit down with our clients and we'll go through each of the questions and guide them as to what they need to consider when making those particular decisions. We've got a whole bunch of examples of the most common wishes people have put over the years for each of the different categories. And what that does is it really helps the person that is making the advanced care directive really think about, oh, I didn't think about it that way. Actually, this is what my wish is. And we do have some funnies in there, so we do try and make the process a little lighthearted.
Not sure how you do that, Maggie.
No, we do. So we'll have, there's one about what care do you wish to avoid? And we've had a few people say, I don't want anybody touching my feet unless it is for washing and putting socks on. Right. And that's actual wish that a few people have put in, and some people, it kind of lightens the mood a little bit.
Maybe
a lot of these decisions, yeah.
You could say for some people it's a religious thing about washing as well, though. They want to make sure if there's a religious requirement, they need to get that in there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's in Part C where it does say, what care do you need? And that's when I say to people, look, if you've got religious beliefs, then there are some where only a certain gender is allowed to look after them, and all sorts of different religious beliefs, and that's where I say to people, please put them in here. This is where it needs to go, and make sure that you do express them.
And Maggie, obviously sometimes there's urgency where you've not been able to speak to the person, there isn't time, it's an immediacy, if there's accident or a dramatic decline in health, which is why the preventive is what's more important than at that time you've got no idea.
That's right. We are called, and we have had this a number of times, we are called to see somebody, and it's very clear that they do not have legal capacity to make an advanced care directive, and unfortunately, then it's too late.
Who does it fall to if someone's not been nominated?
If someone has been nominated, it's up to the medical institution where they're in, But your only other option for appointing an administrator and guardian is to go to SACAT and make the application. And usually the family does so. But obviously it's very subjective depending on what that person's personal circumstances are. But unless SACAT make that decision, then the person cannot no longer, and it'll be generally falls to the family. And sometimes that's not what is probably in their best interest.
Well, I do recall I did some work as an aged care assessor when the aged care standards first came out. And it was interesting around what people's wishes were for end of life or even funeral. And I remember one of the residents very strongly did not want to be cremated. She wanted a burial. She just had a thing about cremation. And the family came in and cremated her.
Oh, God.
So the staff knew about it. She used to talk about it all the time, but it wasn't written in something that anybody, and of course the staff there, the family said, well, we're family. This is what we want to do.
Yeah. Well, it's in terms of what happens to your remains is usually contained within your will. But even then, it's a I wish or I want for this to happen, and it can be tricky if those wishes are not adhered to. And it's I've heard that happen before as well, and it's not ideal at all. It's not.
And so, an advanced care directive, does it have to be done by a lawyer, Maggie?
No. So advanced care, people do it with lawyers because it makes up one of the three estate planning documents that you should have in place.
So a will, obviously, advanced care directive.
And enduring power of attorney. And a will is better written by a solicitor. So that is the reason why most people go and do all three at the same time. But no, you can go to your doctor and have an advanced care directive made. There is a whole list of people, if people look them up, as to who can in fact witness your advanced care directive. And I just really encourage people to make sure that they do check that list, that they are comfortable with the document when it is created and it does accurately portray their wishes.
And Maggie, now with the new legislation around assisted dying, and I noted in the paper today that six people have taken up that option, I guess this becomes even more important.
It certainly does, and for many years, while before it became law, we've always had it in the end as part of our end of life, our refusal of health care section. We've always given our clients the option to put in there that they wish euthanasia should it be legal. And so we kind of foreshadowed that quite a while ago, and now a lot of people are, in fact, of course, speaking about it, but that's where you would put that in. And I think that's an important right, that if somebody wishes so strongly to have that, then they should have that option.
Now, I'm not going to ask you what the price is, but is it a costly exercise? Is there a benefit in doing it early rather than later?
Yeah, 100%. It's usually fixed fee. So that's the great thing about estate planning documents, especially if they're simple. It's usually a fixed fee amount, and we usually package it up all together. So normally if you do all three documents, so a will, a simple will that is, so no testamentary trusts or anything like that, and advanced care directive and an enduring power of attorney for a single person could cost them $1,000 and it's all done.
It's good to know. So I'm talking to Maggie Yarrick from YLP Legal. Where do people find you, Maggie?
So we are all over. So our office is located on King William Street. 327 King William Street on the nice side where there's parking up the front right next to the court. But in terms of this particular area of law, we can do home visits as well. And we do visit nursing homes quite often as well. So
that's great.
We're very, very flexible in that sense.
I think that's a great service. Well, thank you for coming on the show today to talk about that, Maggie. Very important topic.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.